Well, hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Morning.
Well, here we are. It is spring. The earth is opening up with new life, and it is exciting, and we are feeling hopeful.
Yes, and Sunday, March 28th, just as a reminder, at 1 o'clock, everybody, is the AGM, and so the CR Vineyard members, please make sure that you're available. That's next Sunday at 1 o'clock, and we're trying to have a very short and efficient AGM, so please make sure that you set this time aside.
Yes. Now, Wednesday, we'll be sending out an email. This email will have the financials for 2021, so please review them and have your questions ready before the meeting. And yes, we will be answering those questions at the meeting.
Yes. Now, Wednesday's email will also have a link using SurveyMonkey, and this is a private voting system, so no one, including Nancy and I, will be able to see who voted for who, but we're going to use that to vote in the directors. As most of you know, if you're part of the church, we vote in the directors at every AGM, so we're going to do that by a private SurveyMonkey, right, and then we would like you to have that filled out even prior to the meeting.
Yes. So Bonnie Henry shared that her goal was to have a plan for in-person celebrations by Easter. And that is our plan as well. Easter is two Sundays from today, April 4th, and we are moving forward with that.
Yes. And if something changes in that, we will let you know. Okay. So we will follow the same protocols as before with 50 guests, plus the volunteers physically distancing. And we are following the same protocols, for instance, as a restaurant when it comes to masks. Wear your mask into the building. Wear your mask if you need to go to the washroom or you're up walking around. If you're seated, you can take your mask off.
Now, we have opened up small groups in the Camera Vineyard. We have space for a total of 10 max in each small group. Some of the small groups are full. But we have a Thursday morning with our Pastor Barry, and there is space for a couple more people in his group. And if you are interested in joining Thursday mornings, you have to sign up beforehand. So please contact Pastor Barry and let him know if you want to take part in Thursday morning group.
Yes. Now today, Paul Enns is going to share the message. One of the things that I, as the main teaching pastor in the church, am committed to is to allow those who may have a call on their life or a desire to preach to share with us from time to time. And so Paul and Lori Enns have been a part of the Canberra Vineyard for a few years now. And they were a part of Gloria's home group, and they hosted that group for a little while. And then I think they even had a small group of their own just before COVID hit. Now, Paul also, in the past, was an associate pastor at a previous church and had a prison ministry as well. And also, Paul started a private Facebook group called Staying Connected. And I think he has 200 and something.
250, I think I saw.
Subscribers, in which he shares various devotionals or some photography, some cartoons, and ideas and questions, many of them related to faith. And so some of those devotionals, I found them to be very thought-provoking, and so I thought it would be a great idea to have him share with us all this morning. And so a small warning for everybody is that Paul has a very dry sense of humor. I think he's hilarious. So watch for the jokes, but take them with the good nature that Paul intends, okay? So we'll be taking a one-week break from our series in the Unseen Realm to hear Brother Paul this morning. And just think of it like you're hearing from one of your brothers in the faith.
So I'm looking forward to listening to Paul today. But before I pray, do you have your favorite morning beverage? Do you have your Bibles? Let's pray. And I thank you, Lord, for the season that we are in. Spring is here. New life is springing up, and I pray that each of us experience this new life in you. So come, Holy Spirit, come fill us up and be with us as we listen to Paul. And Lord, I pray that you will give us new revelation in who you are. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Okay.
Looking forward to listen to Paul.
Yes. So God bless.
Bye.
Good morning. My name is Paul Innes. I'm not used to this video thing, but I'm going to try my best. Last week, my parents came over, and they were telling me that they heard a story about, actually it was a joke by Pastor Barry. I thought it was pretty good. It was a story that was told of three hunters that went hunting for a deer. There was a pastor, there was a logger, and a mechanic. They were out in the woods hunting for a deer, and lo and behold, they all saw a deer at the same time, and they all shot at the same time. But no one knew who killed the deer. So they came across a game warden, and they asked him, can you help us out? We need to find out who killed the deer because we want to take ownership of the deer. Turns out the game warden checked it out and he said, yep, it was the pastor. Pastor killed the deer. And he said, how do you know that? Well, the bullet went in one ear and right out the other. You can always tell if a pastor shot a deer because he'd shoot it between the ears. Some message behind that, I don't understand. Now let me tell you another story. This is how you get into preaching a sermon. You want to focus on the viewers, and then you tell them a story. The story is told of a young man who had a terminal illness. And he invited a pastor over to give him some indirection and share some of the thoughts he had about his funeral, what suit he would wear and what hymns they would sing. And the pastor said, okay, but the young man said, I have one final odd request. And that is, when I'm in my casket and there's an open casket, I want you to put a fork in my right hand. And the pastor was looking at him and thinking, this is kind of strange. And the young man said, when I was younger, and we'd have all these social functions, group dinners together, and the main course was served, they took the plates away, someone would say to me, hold on to your fork, the best is yet to come. And he thought, I'm going to never forget that. So he was thinking, like, dessert would come. Chocolate cake, devil's food cake, angel food cake, deep dish apple pie, maybe Swedish apple pie. I've tried that one. I made it. Another story. Won't go there. So anyways, young man died. And at the funeral, everyone is looking at the casket and they're looking at the fork in his hand and they're wondering, what's with the fork? And the pastor's thinking to himself, this is going to be interesting. So when the funeral was, a message came and the pastor had a chance to tell the congregation the explanation for the fork. It was a very memorable time for the people to remember that the young man had a good view of the life after. And in a sense, we as Christians, we that believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, can have faith and confidence because we can know without a shadow of a doubt that when we pass from this earth to the next, the best is yet to come. Oh, right hand, sorry. Okay. In the book of Revelation, there's a verse, actually three verses in chapter 12, 10, 11, and 12. And in this Bible passage, you actually come to the very center of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is not designed from A to B, but it's designed in groups and patterns of, actually it's called a chiasm, C-H-I-A-S-M. And the message of the entire book of Revelation comes to a crescendo, comes to an apex point. And let me read for you those three verses that are the center of the Bible. The book of Revelation is like the capstone of all Bible theology. And in our day and age, we don't read the book of Revelation that much anymore because oh, there's just way too many interpretations, and oh, it's so difficult to read. But the first few verses tell you that it's a book of the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if you look and read the book of Revelation in light of the fact that it's a testimony and revelation of Jesus, it'll come clearer to you. And chapter 12, verses 10, 11, 12, there's 205 verses from the beginning of Revelation up to this verse 10. And after verse 12, there's 207 verses to the end of the book in this book of Revelation. So this is the very center apex point, and this is the central message of the entire Bible if you want to understand the Bible theology. And verse 10 says, "And I heard a voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ has come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb." Now, the blood of the Lamb is an expression that's recorded over 28 times in the book of Revelation. So that means that from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, the Lamb of God, the Lamb on the doorpost and lintels of the of their homes was the only means for salvation. In the book of Exodus, right to through the book of the New Testament, Jesus died on the Passover night on the Sabbath. And the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and it's that we, if we want to overcome in our personal walk with the Lord, in our daily expression and in the tribulation, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." Now, in light of that passage, chapter 12, you notice, and many people notice, that Revelation chapter 13 is the book that talks about the Antichrist chapter, and that's where they talk about the mark of the beast, and that's where the book of Daniel chapter 3 highlights the application of Christians to live their testimony and live their life faithfully to Jesus. In Daniel chapter 3, we read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there were certain Jews whom you have appointed, these Chaldeans, came and told Nebuchadnezzar that they're not bowing down. And it'll happen in the book of Revelation too. People are reported that they're not following the mark of the beast. "These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought to him. And they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe," I never knew they had bagpipes in the Old Testament, "and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall be immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer to you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." This passage of scripture is a story that is going to come to fulfillment in Revelation chapter 13, like I was saying. It is a chapter that most people are aware of in the book of Revelation. "And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and he was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months, and it was opened his mouth to utter blasphemes against God and blasphemes against his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven, Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given over to every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Let him who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive to captivity, he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword he will be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. So the gospel message is not simply having right thoughts about Jesus. I know there's Christians that struggling with COVID-19, struggling with going to church, struggling with Zoom messages, struggling with mass, struggling with alienation. Senior citizens are struggling with being in care homes and being infected with COVID, and they have no contact with their children. But God loves us all, and he cares for us deeply. And the gospel message is not just that God is here to protect us through a fiery furnace, but he loves us and cares for us that we might live forever with him. Whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may clearly be seen in his works that may be glorified by God. So for everyone, verse 20 says, everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. I want you, and I dare you, to take John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, memorize them, and then ask the Lord, what areas in your life does he want to expose? What areas in your life does he want to bring to light? Whatever is in your life that you can bring before the light of Christ's presence, what can you see that you have that are works for him that will last for eternity? And ask the Lord to speak to you about what your life is actually meaning in light of eternity. The more you let these verses sing into your heart, the more God will reveal to you those things in your life that need to come to light in light of Calvary for forgiveness. Our propensity is to cover up our sins and cover up and stay in the darkness. But we need to come to the light of God's presence. We need to be afraid no longer about any darkness, but we need to come, Lord, we come, and to be convicted by your loving presence. And I know there's different perspectives in our Christian walk when it comes to theology, when it comes to knowing the Lord, and people have different ideas about who they think God is. Some people think that God is however you feel inside your heart. If you do something right, I know that my neighbors are nice people and I'm a nice person. And if I'm a nice person, God certainly has to take me to heaven. But you have to know the gospel message, and you have to know what is true about the scriptures say about who we are as God's people. And the message of salvation is that God came to redeem us from sin. And if you have no idea about what sin is, ask God to show you the sin in your life so you can get redemption from his and redemption from your sinful behaviors and get forgiveness from him. And this is the same way about, take a look at Martha and Mary in John chapter 11. You know, you remember when Jesus waited 4 days to make sure that Lazarus was dead in the tomb, and he came to raise him from the dead? There's two sisters, Martha and Mary, how they came to approach Jesus. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brothers would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will save you. God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha had no idea that Jesus was going to do that. Martha said, I know that he will rise again on the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said to her, I am whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is telling Martha. She said to him, Lord, Yes, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is coming into the world. It's almost like Martha's telling Jesus, don't worry, Jesus. All things work out together for good for those that love God. That was a later revelation by the Apostle Paul. But Martha has it in her heart. When Martha said this, she went and called her sister Mary. And Mary is saying in private, the teacher is here and he is calling you. And when she heard it, she quickly rose to him and went to him. Now, pay attention to what Mary did when she approached Jesus. When the Jews saw were with her in the house, consoling her, Mary rose quickly and to go, they followed her. These are the Jews that were consoling Mary. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now you notice the difference between Mary and Martha. Mary is crying out to the Lord from the depths of her heart, if you had just been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. And all of us, depending on our awareness of Christ's presence in our life, you can have theology in your head like Martha, but it's a lot more different and a little better experience when you know the Lord in your heart and you can cry your pain to him and cry your loneliness to him and say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved and in his spirit greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Jesus cares. Jesus loves you and he understands. If I count the sand of the sea, your thoughts are more than them. How great is your thoughts towards me? If you have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you ask him to forgive you of your sins, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what happens in your life from this day forward to eternity, you can have this expression and you can have this fork in your hand and know the best is yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. Have a good day.